Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Kitchen Club with me, Sarah Malcolm, and my wonderful friend, Serena Lau.
Kitchen Club is the weekly podcast that brings you conversations from around our kitchen table. Each week, we bring you a brilliant new guest sharing all about their area of expertise and a brand new recipe for you to get stuck into.
This week, we're chatting to Richie Norton, an ex-rugby player turned yoga teacher, ex-PT trainer, coach, and nature lover.
We chatted to Richie all about nutrition for optimal performance, gender stereotypes within the yoga and holistic world, and the power of a daily dose of nature.
Richie's actually the first guest ever to choose three sweet favourite ingredients. So we loved coming up with his delicious recipe, and you can find that along with all of the other recipes from this season on our Patreon page, where you can support us and get recipes and more in return. So we'll leave the details for that in the show notes below.
Without further ado, here is the fantastic Richie Norton on Kitchen Club.
Okay, I'm ready.
Oh. Hi, Richie.
Hey, what's up?
So lovely to have you. Welcome.
Yes, feels a bit weird because I feel like we've kind of already like bonded, we've already connected, and we're having to reintroduce ourselves again. Yeah, wicked.
I know, listeners, we were just having a giggle that when we start recording and it's suddenly like this whole switch on mode. So here we are, switched on.
That's Richie, it, hopefully switched on.
Yeah, hopefully. but it's really lovely to have you, Richie. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm honoured to be here. Your list of guests so far has been really great. I've listened to them and they're all my kind of people. So I'm glad to have been joined with some good human beings by the side.
Yeah, well, we just like having lovely humans on. And, you know, I think Serena and I are always like, we're going to get on with them. So let's invite them on.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to pick your guests.
Yeah, isn't it? Selfish way. let's start, Richie, by diving first into your three ingredients that you gave us, your favourite three ingredients. Hopefully you can remember what they were.
Yeah, well, I actually gave you those three ingredients. I thought, you know what, maybe that's not the right ingredient. But then I thought, well, I love dates because they can be eaten on their own. And then I thought, well, I sometimes put peanut butter on my dates. But then I thought also, well, I put them in smoothies and I put them in biscuits and cookies and cake. Yeah, they get used quite a lot. Oh, yeah, bananas. Yeah, I eat about 4 bananas a day. It's probably fair to say they should be my top three. And then I thought, well, what about chocolate? Oh, sometimes I like a bit of dark chocolate. So you get the idea of where the consistent combinations come from, whether it's a smoothie, whether it's baking, when I do get to bake, although my girlfriend does all the baking, she's epic. But they just seem to give me what I need. They're sugary. They give me a nice little energy fix. They taste good. They're versatile. So yeah, that kind of felt like quite a natural way. Did I get those right, by the way?
Was that right? You did. Yeah. You're the first guest as well that's gone for three
sweet things. I mean, peanut butter could be a savory, I guess. It works both ways. But the first that has gone for a three sweeter.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been a no-brainer. Top three.
Yeah.
Healthy sweets.
You know, the super cool thing, we clearly read your mind because we included chocolate as well.
Oh, of course. I'd like to think we're in alignment here, but that seems to be like the natural addition if you are going to go one step further.
Oh, yeah.
So we made you some, it's kind of obvious, but they're delicious, banana, peanut butter, date, oat bars with chocolate drizzled on top.
Oh, banging. When do they arrive?
Yeah, that's just the problem. Normally we would make them for you.
Yeah, so you get to enjoy them. I just get to salivate over them all. I'll send you my version of what we created from that recipe.
Perfect.
I'd have to say as well that, Richie, your three ingredients would probably be up there for me as well, because I have peanut butter, dates and banana every morning. It's just, a match made in heaven. Mm-hmm. I don't understand people who don't like peanut butter.
No. And so versatile. Does what anyone? They can do. It doesn't make any sense, really. I mean, unless you're allergic to nuts and stuff like that. But the way I look at it is, it's a good source of natural energy and fats and the things that we can get away with every now and then in moderation. You can have them on their own. You can have them all together. You can spread them, chop them, blend them. It's just like, what a great versatile combo. And it makes you feel good, which is the intention, right?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Whilst we're talking about food, we'd love to know whether food has always been a big part of your life. And also these days with your interest in health and like feeling your absolute best, do you still enjoy food for food, or is it always linked to kind of the nutritional value of it? Does that make sense?
I'll try and make sense of what you, if I understood correctly, because not that you gave me a tricky question. It's just more me looking at nutrition and me looking at food. Like I eat for my health, to feed me, to energize me, to make sure I stay strong. Because I'm so active and I burn through fuel quite a lot, I need to make sure I'm fueled up correctly. So for me to do that right, I need to learn about what is working and what's not. So my journey, in short, from, learning about nutrition and being a personal trainer and having to try and, guide clients to lose weight or put on muscle or improve their health from the inside out, I had to go into my own little experimental lab and see what worked for me and what didn't, but also read and diversify from different teachers, different nutritionists, different practitioners. And then also, I love to cook. I actually really enjoy cooking. Luckily, my mum and dad, from a very young age, got us involved in the kitchen, which I think is really great for kids. Yeah. You know, mixing bowls, licking spoons, usually a lot of baking on my mum's side. But because I left home when I was quite young, I had to go and fend for myself quite young. So I had to make my own food. And rather than just eat out of tins, I actually quite enjoyed building on what my grandma, my mum used to like give me in terms of recipes. And then kind of just like, oh, see what that works like. Well, that didn't work. That tastes disgusting. We won't use that again. You can't get it right all the time. But I think the key is I got into it initially because I enjoyed eating and I wanted to start to get creative and make my own food. I love that. And then with the rugby side of things, I had to eat for performance because I wanted to get big. I wanted to build muscle. I wanted to be strong. I wanted to be fast. But still, what I knew then compared to what I know now is actually quite different. And how I apply it is kind of just listening to my body more. Mm. So I look at food now and nutrition as a source of fueling my body correctly and also providing a really nice, healthy internal world. So I sleep better. My skin is good. My body weight is a nice balance. And I feel energized when I want to be energized. And I don't overthink it past that. But I've done the work of measuring food, kind of getting an idea of how many calories are on my plate so I can understand what kind of burning I'm doing of that fuel when I'm training in certain disciplines. And that way I can start to navigate each day, eat each meal without being, oh, I better weigh that, or that's not good for me. It's like, I'm all right with this because I know I need to balance it out somewhere else, but that's okay. And I find that gives me this nice ride to eat a cake, you know, yeah. have a pizza, go to the Indian takeaway. It doesn't happen all the time, but for me, it's like it's become a lot healthier with my relationship. Mm. I do this because I feel like it is kind of a nice wave. It's never like that. I never do crash course stuff. None of my clients ever have done a diet around intense salad eating or portion control. It's just more about educating and observing and listening. And I think that's a really nice way to go about looking at nutrition as a whole. Did that kind of answer your question, or did I elaborate quite a lot there?
No, that completely answered it, because I think what I was getting at was that a lot of people who train are so into the nutrition that food for them is like a plain chicken breast and some steamed broccoli. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you like do love food for food, as well as making sure that it's nourishing you and doing what it needs in your body.
100%. On that point, actually, just to cover all those bases, I have been that person where I have to eat a chicken breast and broccoli, because I was in that space where I was experimenting to see what happened if I put my body through that kind of torment. Because it isn't always enjoyable. And if I'm going to do something long-term and have something that is sustainable, and that becomes part of my daily rituals, my daily practices, I want to enjoy the process and I want to enjoy the experience. Otherwise, I'm going to get bored super quick. But also, I'm not going to enjoy the journey. So I think everyone has to find their version of that. And there are ways to do it by just being a bit more self-aware and more proactive around, be more active to lose more weight and to like burn more fuel, to energize your body naturally and to fuel your body with what your body needs, not what anyone else needs. It has to be about you and your relationship with that food and why you're doing it. And I think once you kind of tie those things together, you can jump in and out of certain, you know, phases of eating certain things, or wherever you are, your environment might not give you all the best farm produce and you might have to like hustle a little bit on the side. That's okay, as long as you're being more mindful, more conscious of what quality of that food and the quantity of that food. And I think that's a nicer way to just navigate it. I think navigate seems to be the right kind of word to do it, but a lot of people are just mindlessly eating, uneducated, without any idea what they're doing, without any idea what they're consuming their body with, consuming their face. And I think that's quite an important thing to recognize when you're working with relationships with food. And that then hopefully answers the question for guys that are wanting to build muscle or women that want to build muscle.
Absolutely.
And I think that's quite an important thing to make sense of. Educate yourself. Don't rely on someone else to tell you what's right for you.
Yes. Great advice. Because you do kind of, especially in the world of social media and sort of influencers, people can fall into a trap of thinking, oh, they eat that way, so I should also eat like that if I want to look like them or do what they do. But we're all made completely differently. So yeah, I 100% agree, Richie. All personal experience and having food respect, and it's something we speak about quite a lot on, especially this season on the podcast, and educating yourself on where your food is coming from and not just mindlessly eating. Definitely.
Yeah, well, it's trends, isn't it? It's a lot of, I say fads, but there's such a wave of overwhelming information that can come from a big campaign for a certain way of eating that's had a really great positive effect on certain people. Whether you talk about the plant-based stuff or vegan stuff or meat stuff or paleo, you know, all of these words, these titles, people that are uneducated, that are a bit like sort of naive or just unaware, they just get pulled into it and they don't realize that it's just a manipulation and they're not doing the groundwork to work out or understand if it's right for them. And I think it's such an empowering thing to actually just take some ownership to understand, actually, is this right for me? Does this align with what I feel is right for me? How do I feel when I eat this food? What's in this food? What is it made up for? What is it doing for me? I mean, just a few little things to educate yourself will just be so much more powerful and then also give you that control to make better decisions and not feel so bombarded and overwhelmed and then do these yo-yo diets because you're always looking for that next thing. Yeah. Whereas eventually you just find what works for you, don't you? And I believe that's the same with training. You know, for long-term training, health and well-being goals. Hopefully everyone's doing it for health, right? Eventually, yes. Hopefully it all comes down to like good quality health and well-being, food, diet, lifestyle, training. It's because you want to live long, you want to feel happy, you want to feel confident, and you want to have your body working for you as efficiently as possible. For you to do that, we have to learn what's right for us based on our environment and our life and where we are and what we have access to, and do your best with all those tools.
Yes.
That's not that hard to figure out. You just have to simplify a little bit and do the work.
Yeah.
Personally, that's my view anyway.
It's a great one.
Does that make any sense?
Yes, absolutely. So, Richie, you're talking about figuring out what's right for you. Let's talk a little bit about what's been right for you personally on sort of your journey into getting where you are today. I mean, you've said that you're a professional rugby player, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, under 19s, it wasn't really professional, really. It was more semi-professional because I was still paid to play. So, you know, this is like 20 years ago. Scary. But I played for a few years, but it was overseas in New Zealand, and I played in America, and I played in Portugal. So I got to travel. I got to make money while I traveled and got to play. But I still worked. And I still did other things. I wanted to go on adventures and wanted to see the world while I was playing rugby. When I realized it wasn't my long-term career, it was more I was able to pay my way and see the world playing rugby as my tool of choice. Yeah. So, yeah, I tend not to think I earned fully professional title, but I did it and I made a living from it. Let's say that, you know, so.
What a great life.
It crosses into two. But yeah, you know, for someone who's so young, you know, when, you know, I didn't go to uni. I went to play rugby and travel the world. And then I wanted to be a firefighter. I thought, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm not going to be a rugby player, but I still want to be a hero. And I want to save people. I want to rescue people. I thought that's something that can you'll be proud of. And, you know, it's really like, going to challenge me mentally and physically. That's what I'm going to do. So I went to a firefighting college in up in Lancashire, and luckily I got the opportunity to go and play rugby again. That kind of like pulled me out of it because the training was really hard and you have to be super clever. So I just felt like I maybe wasn't quite ready yet to delve into that serious world. But yeah, anyway, the long and short of it is, yeah, my rugby was the key to me starting this journey.
That's so funny that you said that you wanted to be a firefighter to help people to be a hero, which is exactly what you've succeeded in now. And actually, the kind of flip side of that is you are the fire that you build within your clients and your followers.
Yeah, it's a nice way to look
at it. That heat for everyone, but also put out the anxiety. Yeah.
Maybe so, not as less danger, a lot less danger. You're going to say, I feel like you're really like,
Richie, you are the fire.
I know. I was like, wow. I've gone red. Oh my God. I'm blushing. No, it's a nice way to look at it. And I think it's nice to imagine yourself as someone that can be a positive influence in people's lives and, you know, pull people out of challenging situations. You know, people come to me and they're wanting some help, you know. So, yeah, I guess you are a point of bringing them through, you know, obstacles and challenges and tough times.
Yeah.
Just not as dangerous and risky maybe as being a firefighter. Because those guys are heroes. They're the real heroes.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? So what was it in your early 20s when you stopped playing rugby that shifted for you and sort of brought you into this holistic or more holistic route into yoga and movement? Tell us a little bit about that, if you will.
So this is quite a long story, actually. And I've been writing a book about the whole thing because I'm sure it's going to like help people through a lot of challenging times. Because when I stopped playing rugby, I was only 24 and it should be in my prime. I was lucky I had a very good junior career and a youth experience. I was lucky to have the opportunity early on and make the most of it. But when your career suddenly ends, and this can account for anyone's experience in any loss of or end of their dream. And I just didn't know where to put myself because I was going to be a professional athlete the rest of my life and then do commentary on BBC for sports, you know, and that was my dream. So I went really off the rails. I moved to London. I met up with some great people, some awesome human beings who are still friends now, but they took me to Ibiza. And I'd never been raving before. And well, not proper raving. And because I just felt like I'd just been set free. I focused on my rugby for so long, but also felt very lost. I didn't know what direction to go in. Mm. I actually felt like I didn't know where to position myself. And it was a really lonely and actually quite scary time and put me in a bit of a negative headspace of just thinking that I'd actually failed and I hadn't fulfilled what I thought I was here to do. And it's a really weird limbo space, which I know a lot of people will relate to.
Yeah.
But the hedonistic experience of being in Ibiza was just great. I just felt like I'd just been set free. And it's I was going dancing, I was swimming, and I was traveling and just having an absolute blast. But eventually that only lasts for so long and you kind of like realize that's not sustainable, but it was a lot of fun. But it allowed me to sort of like blow the cobwebs off, let's call it. And when I came back to London, I started to go into business. I went into property. I went into like recruitment. I thought I'd make it in like the tech world. And I was trying all these different things because I could talk and I could, you know, I was friendly and I was, you know, personable. So I was given opportunities to like do stuff in business because sometimes rugby players do that. We go into business and that didn't work either. So many times people would come up to me and go, I don't think this is for you, you know. It just doesn't seem to suit where you're at. And this was clients and it was colleagues and people I do business with. And I'm like, yeah, we do business with you because you're just a nice person. The product's not that great, but we like it. And it was just a case of like, right, I feel like I need to change things up a little bit. So I thought I'd really change things up and I moved to Australia. I went to Sydney and I jumped on a plane. Last chance to get a working visa, landed in Sydney. I thought, right, if I'm going to be in Sydney, I'm going to grow my hair, I'm going to learn how to surf so I can blend in. So this Yorkshire lad walking down the hill with his surfboard, going surfing, body's still broken, got a bad knee, got a bad back, I've jarred my neck, I've been knocked out twice from rugby. My body's not really in peak condition. And I surf every single morning. I don't have a lesson. I just watch all the pro people. I almost drown 3 or 4 times a day. And anyway, the long and short of it is I met some really great people that were surfers and yogis, and they do capoeira and they go hiking and climbing. And I'm like, God, I've just missed this. I lived in London in this like box in this urban jungle, just not connected to nature at all. So I got there and I started doing yoga. I started, you know, getting out and about in nature, being in the ocean, and all my injuries started to go away. But it wasn't so intense. So my body was able to repair a little bit. My body had a chance to breathe. And then two people, great yoga teacher who understood where I was coming from to teach me yoga in a language that wasn't too woo-woo, fluffy, spiritual, like most guys,
yeah,
especially rugby boys. So I was like, okay, I connect. This is performance, yeah, performance yoga. Okay, got you. So this is gains, yeah, gains. Right, wicked. So, you know, breathing gains, you know, lean gains, be agile, be super dynamic. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay, this is the one. And then I also met an osteopath who taught me the powers of foam rolling and trigger point stuff and learn about the mechanics of the body. Most of us hunched over desks now, just getting seized up, not moving through our full range of motion. Bodies are starting to like shut down. No wonder things start to hurt and ache and break and get injured, right? So
yeah.
Long story, probably still quite long, just to inspire people about just delving deep. I was 30 years old this time. I was told I was never going to play rugby again, never going to train again. And people could have written me off. I could have written myself off. So a lot of people go through life thinking, oh, this is it. My body's broken, or I can't do that. I've never been able to do that. And they tell themselves this internal dialogue that just defeats their potential or puts them down or creates this big obstacle that they feel they can't work through. Whereas if you find the right teacher and you do the work and you experiment and you learn a bit about yourself and you treat your body with respect and care and attention and just work on the small building blocks that make you a well-rounded human being, it just gave me this whole new lease of life. So I got this new energy and I started to just feel more alive and more connected. And a few years later, I went to Bali on a yacht for 4 weeks, traveled to Bali, got there, thought, what is this place? This is amazing. Never, ever want to leave ever. I feel like a Mowgli from the Jungle Book. And I thought, all my dreams are coming true. I always wanted to be this jungle boy. So I got a scooter and I got a surfboard rack and I just cruised around with big, long, blonde locks. And I realized that all that work I'd been doing over those few years was preparing me for that. And I was able to then disconnect from all the obstacles or the things that stopped me from becoming a yoga teacher or the things that had stopped me just taking that leap and trying something new and getting out of the lane I felt I was in just to just step out of my comfort zone. And it changed my life forever. I met a teacher that understood how to work with me. He gave me the tools I have now and I teach to this day. He opened up my mind to be more mindful, more connected with myself. So just shutting down, disconnecting from that macho ego kind of fueled masculine and be open and connected and see it as a journey and see it as a path that you create. And it's all on you. And that just felt like the whole world opened up. So, yeah, in short, that's quite a long explanation, but I'd like to give you an idea of the steps because it wasn't easy and it wasn't always straightforward, but everybody faces obstacles and some of them are really tough, really hard. But I find if we can mentally see past that and see it as an obstacle that will teach us so much, that we'll learn from, that we'll grow from, even if it doesn't work out, that's living. Never be satisfied. No matter where you are, no matter what age you are, go out and just chase something that really gets you fired up, even if it scares the shit out of you, because that is living. That is being alive. And I feel in a world now more than ever, what's even more prominent is we're constantly trying to be controlled. We're overwhelmed with information. We're distracted by everything. If you don't stay in check, in tune with yourself and what you're here to do, you'll lose your way. And that can be a really crazy world to be in. So I just think I teach to try and share that. I'm a teacher and whatever I do now, whoever I'm with, I like to bring a little bit of that magic out, depending on how open that person is that I'm sharing it with.
Yeah.
But that's my mission. So that was a short version of just telling you where I am now to like, no, I know what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
And that's my mission until I'm not here anymore.
Yeah.
Even if I'm old and wrinkly, I'll still be surfing. I'll still be skateboarding if I can actually stand up. But that's my mentality, that youth mindset that we talked about.
Yeah.
The more you hold on to that and the more you cherish it, the more chance you have of actually just having an incredible life. That's my mentality anyway.
I'll stop talking. The nuggets that you just said, the brilliant stuff. I just have one question that's bubbled up for me. Are you still self-taught surfer?
Yeah. I've never had a lesson in my life.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I say that, yeah, I've never had a lesson in my life. But that's my mentality. It's not like, oh, I'm good at everything. It's just like I like to set myself that challenge to overcome that obstacle because it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I want that sense of achievement when I make progress and I notice I've got better. And that's the same with everything. There are some things I'm like, I should probably have a lesson in this. I might die. There's boundaries to like where you should just go, do you know what? I'm just going to learn how to skydive on my own. I don't need lessons. There are certain things you should, right? But you know what I mean? It's like you should lean into things that scare you a little bit, because your whole body vibrates and it's like, what are you doing? But this is amazing, but I'm scared. But like, wah! And I'm addicted to that. Mm. I just have to find different levels of it on the spectrum and know when to rein it in a little bit. But yeah, I did. And it's because I just love being in the ocean and I just love the learning and just, I love getting smashed as well, because it was like, whoa, that was close. You know, but that's the tightrope I ride.
Yeah. While we're talking about your journey into mindfulness, I heard you say on another podcast, and I think it might have been Grace's, that initially you were apprehensive of that because as a man, you were worried that being into all that stuff might be seen as a weakness or like a chink mm-hmm. in your armor. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how you overcame that, because it's hopefully by sharing that other men will be able to be more vulnerable and more in touch with yeah. their emotions and mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah. So when I first came across yoga, I was actually in London. It was quite early on, like late 20s. And I had a few experiences with yoga that were just really hard work. I actually really found them really hard work. And I was very competitively minded and I was like, I can't do this. I'm really like, everything hurts and I can't touch my toes and I can't get my heels on the floor. And it's like, it just feels really hard and everyone's making me look really bad. So it like mentally, it was like playing this game with me and there was no guys in the room. It was all women. And I thought, oh, it's just, the balance isn't right. Maybe I'm not meant to be here. So you have this kind of internal dialogue of like, maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's just not the right time, not the right class, not the right teacher. And when I talk to people about it, the lads I play rugby with, all my mates, they'd be like, yoga? No, I'm not into that. No. And it was still then like something, it wasn't really accepted by my connection, by my network. So fast forward when I go to Sydney, there's like 50-50 guys and girls in these yoga classes. There's people just like doing it, but it's the community. So what it was, I was just talking to people that hadn't ever experienced it and weren't part of a yoga community. So it felt really unusual and foreign. It wasn't really well received. So it allowed me to start to have conversations with guys that are like super agile, but like still like proper strong and buff. And they were surfers, or they were jiu-jitsu guys, or they were capoeira teachers. Now I see them do these acrobatics. And I'm like, it's because of the yoga I'm able to do this. And I'm like, right. Yeah, you're the kind of guys you need to hang out with. And it was like, that's how I found my people. Mm. And I think we often get caught in our little bubbles with the friends that we've had forever. And it's like, actually, you're not the kind of people I want to hang out with anymore. And that takes quite a lot of guts, or to at least maybe section off certain groups of people for certain activities. Not like you need to get rid of all your friends. But when I started to go into more yoga teacher training, it was there though. Everybody was leveled off. It was just a load of human people and a load of energy and a load of souls and a lot of people doing the work, turning up to support each other. And it was that sense of community and that sense of feeling like I'm in the right place here that I realized I'd never found before. So my mission from that point was to try and create that every time I taught a class, exactly how I've resonated with it. And that's why I'm here. How many rugby players do I know that never quite found the right teacher? So they've never been able to connect with it. Right. This is how I learn about it. Right. Try this breathing. You'll feel like the chest will open up and you'll feel more energized. And then, right, when you move your arm here, take a breath here and really open up through the hips. And like, how's that feel? Oh, whoa, it's really hard work. You know, but you get them to like connect with it based on where they're coming from. And I think that's quite a skill with some people, rather than just going, this is how I do yoga. So you have to do it this way as well. The reason I don't teach a lot of traditional yoga now is because that's not how I connected with it. Mm. I respect it. But now that when I talk to guys, it's taught in rugby clubs, but not, oh, okay, everybody chant now. And those big rugby lads going, oh, they just don't do that. These yoga teachers have adapted how they teach it to share their teachings, their methods, their skills in a way that these guys will resonate with it and feel like they're making progress. And for me now, I still have some guys that I don't bother having the conversation with because they're far too old school and they're stuck in their ways. And I've accepted that, which is fine. But what I realize now is like, the more I own it, the more I'm inspiring people to give it a go, because I'm not your standard yoga teacher. I'm covered in tattoos. I'm a lot bigger than most Tata yoga teachers, and I don't use a lot of traditional Sanskrit, which upsets some people, but it's because I'm there to serve you. Mm. I want you to find something in this practice that makes you feel, oh, that was good. Or, yeah. Oh, I understood that. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
That's my purpose. So I respect both sides of it, I think, is the question that is the answer. But I know now more than ever, people are waking up to it because I'm having more conversations and it's just accepted. Not everyone wants to resonate in a positive way, but I feel if we can do something in a practice and share something that inspires someone, you're doing a great job.
Yeah. And then in turn, you know, if you're teaching in that way and you're inviting people who thought, oh, maybe yoga's not for me, into the practice, then there might be somewhere along the line that they think, actually, I want to learn a little bit more about the philosophy and the Sanskrit. And I, you know, they go on their own personal journey, but the 100%. Way they've come into it is through experiencing the movement, experiencing the breath. And it makes me think, because it's so funny how we've morphed the practice of yoga. Because I mean, initially it was designed for young boys. That's how it started. And the fact that the media, we've sort of channeled it into this thing that's designed for women and you have to wear tight clothing and look a certain way. And it's so great to be breaking those boundaries again. And, you know, it's not just a privilege for a thing for white privileged women, you know, and it shouldn't be. And it's exciting what you're doing, Richie, and I really like value it so much. And actually it was funny. I was teaching two classes in the studio last night, and my first class was full of women, and I sort of was adapting how I was teaching for those women. And then the second class was 80% men. And they all walked in and I was like, what's going on? Because it was so great to see that many men. And they were all, you could sort of tell that they were starting in their journey. I thought, right, I need to switch things up a little bit for this, because I need to be able to access them in a different way to kind of how I would these experienced sort of dancer women that were coming before. So
yeah, I think that's such a lovely gift, isn't it, to have that ability to just adjust how you deliver something or you share something for someone to make a connection with it, rather than scare them away or really hurt them or really punish them, make them sweat a lot, make them feel like they're not good enough, and you'll never see them again. And that could have been a really great opportunity for them to delve deeper into it. So, you know, how good is it that you have that role as a teacher? We hope people embody it in this way, that you're just a step in their journey. You're a chapter of their journey. I know I'm not the best yoga teacher, but I know if you come to my class, I'll make sure you enjoy it and you feel taken care of for you to then decide what direction you're going to go in next. And I think, what a great opportunity. So even if you're a new teacher, I just think, well, just have that mentality that you're just nurturing someone's journey.
Yeah.
Be respectful, be authentic, you know, make the people feel welcome. And if you're more advanced, if you take things a bit too seriously, you're going to forget about the people that are in your class that maybe don't know where they're going yet. So I think that's, you know, it takes a bit of a skill, but I think it's a nice way to look at life, isn't it? As a personal trainer, as a yoga teacher, as any kind of coach. You know, be empathetic around people being on very different levels. So treat everybody as someone just part of their journey, and then try and navigate, you know, giving them just what they need just to help them on their way. I think that's a nice way to look at it anyway. Makes me feel less self-aware. Yeah.
It's really interesting because I used to teach at a studio where that was their whole ethos. Like that they were people's intro to yoga. And if people loved it and stuck with it, great. If then they wanted more and they wanted more spirituality and stuff, cool. But it was a male owned and run studio. And I've never really heard anyone else with that attitude apart from the guy who ran it. And like when he said it, and now when you say it, it makes so much sense. Why would you alienate people by doing crazy shit with weird names that's going to put everyone off? Instead, tell people how it should feel, let them like notice that and enjoy that, and then they're going to love it.
Yeah, I go to some teachers when I'm just wanting to just be taught and not just have my own little practice, and they might have just come out of yoga school, but because they're slow and they're really taking their time and they're just trying to, like, you know, find their way. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, that was so nice. I haven't done that in ages. So even though I may be a bit more experienced, it's like, I get it. I get where you are. Thank you so much for slowing things right down. That was really nice to feel those positions and that, get that feeling back of that hold, and that transition felt great. And I think that's always nice as well, to support other coaches and other trainers and give them, you know, that supportive energy, because everyone's going to have their own way. Everyone's got a different personality. Everyone's got a slightly different mission. But if you stay true to being kind, being thoughtful, and also not taking yourself too seriously,
yeah,
you're going to do all right.
Yeah. My favorite thing is when you sort of get that moment where you can just laugh in a class, and then I can't remember who of my teachers says it, but they're always like, it's just yoga. Like, mm-hmm. It's just yoga. But that's a lovely, really lovely way to, you know, think about it and access more people. Richie, we'd love to speak to you. I feel like, wow, time's passing very quickly.
Yeah, how has it got to that time so
quick? I don't know, but...
Sorry, I just get away. You have to rein me in a little bit. When I'm off on a tangent, just pull me in and say, whoa.
Well, actually, Sorry. We've got so many more things to ask you, but maybe I should just...
I'll keep the answers short.
No, they're beautiful.
So we would love to talk to you about your love of the outdoors. And I'm actually going to tell you something. Sarah's probably going to tell me I shouldn't have told you this because it's a bit creepy. For the first time ever, I dreamt about a podcast guest before they came on. And last night, you came to me in a dream and you were trying to make us record outside. And I was no, I'm sorry. It's impractical. It's too noisy. And you were like, please, I just love being outdoors. And I was like, no. And then you found this like weird door in my London house that you open and you can see the sea, which was great. So thanks for that.
What? That sounds amazing. What a dream.
I have pretty weird dreams. Cool.
I'm honoured, though. You guys are like full of flattery today. I'm like feeling very special today. Thank you.
Sarah's flirting with you. I'm dreaming about you.
It's what a treat.
It's because we don't have men on the podcast.
I'm feeling
very
great about myself. Thank you.
So the outdoors. You love the outdoors so much that you want to record outside. More and more people these days seem to be turning to nature as a way of combating their mental health stuff, their mm-hmm. indoor sedentary lifestyles. Mm-hmm. Has getting outside always been a love of yours, pre kind of getting into surfing and stuff?
Mm-hmm. So I was quite lucky as a kid, and I'm really grateful for my mom and dad to have exposed me to the outdoors. They were like big hikers and climbers, and you know, their own version of the adrenaline junkie. I actually grew up in the Middle East, so I lived on a beach till I was about five. Between coming back to the UK, my dad worked as a geologist offshore on oil rigs and stuff like that. And I just have all these childhood memories of just sat wearing no clothes, sat in the sand and swimming and paddling, and just the whole childhood. Even when we came back to the UK or Europe, we'd go into the Dolomites, we'd hike in Switzerland, I'd be in my dad's backpack in these woods in Germany or whatever it was. So I was really lucky, and I'm so grateful that I got exposed to it at such an early age, because when I did get older, all I wanted to do was go explore. My idea of fun and a cool holiday was going to the woods, going to the beach, going on a climbing adventure, going exploring something cool. So that was definitely the catalyst, because my brother and sister didn't get exposed to that so much. So they're not so much inclined to do that, actually. So it's a good sign that I was the fortunate one, but also how it did have a huge positive impact on me. It wasn't until a bit later that I realized how powerful it was for my mental health, and how it was a lifeline for me to go and find some space when things got really crazy or when things felt a bit hectic or overwhelming. Because I was able to travel, I lived in New Zealand. New Zealand is always some of the best outdoor like terrain on the planet. Still one of my favorite places on the planet. So it was constantly part of my life growing up. And as an adult, in between the gap of being in London, I was still escaping every chance I possibly could and going and finding somewhere remote to go and immerse myself in nature. So it was always part of what made me me. It wasn't really until Well, no, it's always been there, really. But I think the way I endorse it now and I promote it now and I encourage people to get out in it now is because I see people disconnecting from it more and more. More of our, you know, on our phones and our laptops and being busy, busy, busy and getting stuck in this routine of just churning out work and always being connected, always being online. But also not getting out and experiencing what the world has to offer. I know we're a bit restricted now, but just walking around the block, going sitting under a tree, going sitting inside somewhere, lie in the grass, climb a tree, go for a swim in the ocean, go walk in the woods. Nobody has ever said that was shit. It's like, it's more like, oh, I should do this more often. No shit. You know, it's like, of course you should. We are nature. We just don't always connect the dots to how powerful it is for our well-being and our true soul. But also, the more we disconnect from the planet, the more we disconnect from how important it is to take care of it. And I think that's such a huge disconnect. People are just mindlessly going through life thinking the world's invincible and the planet is suffering. And I find that's something we should all try and tie in together. So for me, it's finding space. It's being connected to nature, seeing animals in the wild, seeing the greenery, seeing the ocean, and making sure that becomes part of everybody's life in some way to stay connected and to find that bit of grounding that we need now more than ever. Mm. And the extremes of it are the cold, obviously the cold showers, the cold ocean, you know, putting yourself in saunas and all the stuff that I love to do with my training. Because it challenges you, but also it's that connection to nature and exposing yourself to nature. And I think that's one of the key links to maintaining a healthy mental space and also physically just disconnecting from all the attachment and all the distractions that we have. Nature provides all of it.
Yeah.
We just have to find our little pockets of it.
Absolutely.
Sarah, why don't you ask Richie your favorite question to ask people about mountains and ocean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is my favorite question. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, Richie, if you could only live in one place for the rest of your life, what would you choose between mountains and never see the sea or the sea and never be able to be up high in the mountains?
It's a real tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why it's a popular question, although it's really hard to answer because I like to think I'm a creature that feels very at home in both.
You can have a lake in the mountains if you want.
Ooh.
Just a small one.
You've never offered that to anyone.
Sorry,
before.
I'll just put it up.
Wow. Are you playing with me again? No, I'm joking. I think the ocean, just because it's been such a big part of my life as a kid, and I'm a big water baby, as much as I still think I'm a Mowgli in the jungle, when I am in the jungle, I just think if he asked me to pick one, it'd be the ocean.
Good answer.
Yeah. Mm. I also want to ask you, Richie, about your, I know this is kind of like a simple question that people think, oh, what do you do in a day? But you are someone that strikes me as having a really brilliant work-life balance and, you know, having a life rather than working all the time and being sort of a slave to your work. So we kind of just want to know what an average day looks like for you in Wales, enjoying the Welsh countryside. And what is, yeah, because obviously it's such a stark contrast to so many people with office jobs. So what would be, okay, that's a separate question. We'll go with that one.
Yeah, keep it simple, otherwise you might lose me forever.
I know, sorry.
So many questions. I think we need to have another conversation after this podcast.
Yeah.
Just to get it all out in the open. So it changes every day in various different ways, but the rituals, as I call them, are, I like to wake up early. I'm a morning person. I'm literally dead in the evening. I wake up early. I try and get some morning sunshine. Like now, just if there's sun around, I'll try and wake up with the sun. I always hydrate. I make tea. I have a stretch. I move around in the morning. where I just give myself time to start the day. Because I find that it allows me just to get a bit of grounding before we open our laptops and our phones and the world gets hectic very quickly. Mm. We need to do the groundwork to make sure our levels of like balance and chill and calm and composure are, you know, in place. But also before we sit on our laptops and hunch over the desk and just fuse into that position for a few hours, it's important to open up. So, you know, all these stretch and movement classes and walks are there because I need it to function with everything else that I do for work. So getting out for a walk, going out for a surf if I can, a skate, whatever I can, I'll go and ride my motorbike or something and just get some fresh air, something that just like gets me fired up. It might just be 10, 15 minutes. It's just enough to get that bit of time for myself before I give my time to other people. So I feel like I'm topped up. And then before the end of the day, always a little wind down practice to switch off, technology off. Maybe another walk again, get more fresh air. Fresh air is obviously good for our soul. But yeah, if there's waves, waves get priority, just like today. So I think it's just about just making sure I get me time before I give my time to other people so they get the best of me. So they get happy Richie, charged up, fully charged, ready to fire Richie. And a little dose of nature on a regular, whenever I can get a little mini break. Mm. And that usually keeps me fired up. So that's like roughly a day in the life. There's a few little tweaks here and there, depending on the weather and stuff like that. But that's the gist of it.
And would you say that you had a good work-life balance? Would you say like, yeah, got that down?
For sure. I live in nature. I look out, I see the ocean. I can't believe I'm even living this life. So I already feel like I've made it, you know, in my eyes. It's simple living. It's a simple place, but I'm in nature. I get to work with great people. I practice what I preach. I get to like teach and share space with people. I get to be part of people's journey. You know, I'm being myself. So I'm not pretending. It's like I'm just living what I feel is the best possible day I can. And I'm getting to share that with other people, with my community online and stuff like that. So what more is there? You know, in my head, that's it. As long as I get to be in nature, you know, as long as we think we get to, as long as we feel happy inside and we're not, you know, living a life that's not ours and we're living it for someone else, or we're not fulfilling what we feel we're here to do, that will grate on you. And I think you'll start to regret making, you know, not making certain decisions or not fulfilling what your calling might be. Even if you haven't figured it out, I just think simplify it a little bit. Take more time out to do those little things that often get neglected, like switching off, closing the eyes, going for a walk, writing down what's on your mind. Just simple things that often get neglected, how powerful they are.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got that practice dialed in. So far, so good.
Yeah. You literally just answered the question I was about to ask you as well, which was what advice would you give to people who are feeling really inspired by what you're saying and want to sort of implement this? But I mean, you pretty much answered that by writing things down, getting out. Is there anything else?
Well, it's like, I like to call it a life audit. And I think we often get caught up in just reflecting on what I said before about this bubble that we're in, whether it's our relationships, our family, our work, our, you know, community. It's like before you know it, you're into this little whirlwind of other people's stuff, or you're deep in a job, you're deep in a way of life that you feel like you're on this train you can't get off, and it can leave you feeling like really like, what's going on? Before you know it, you're like 10 years older, and you're like, what have I just done with those 10 years? Yeah. And you're like, shit, I wish I'd done more. So the life audits are where you just take a little bit of time out, just a few minutes a day or an hour a week or something, just to like reflect and see what you're doing and where you're at and what you're doing with your time. And is that the best use of your time? And then start to make little steps towards starting to make happier choices and improve your daily habits, whether that's starting with a healthier meal or getting out in nature more, or maybe starting an online business. Let's start a blog. Let's get a website up and running. Let's do a podcast, or let's start to connect with other people that I've never connected with before. This is exciting. Wow. I'm really enjoying this. And then before you know it, that's becoming your path. People, I think, make these obstacles and make it a bigger issue and a more challenging thing to go and do, whereas really it's not. And I think you just back yourself, because you only live once. And I think just let's not waste a single second of it.
Great advice.
This is making me feel so pumped up and inspired. I know all this stuff already, but just hearing someone else say it, I'm like, yes.
Oh, good. Anyway. The hype is real.
Yeah, exactly. On to your healthy habits, which we have a little question about, which, I mean, it's kind of the same, but you said that your healthy habit was to get outside and move. Is that get outside and do some movement, or get outside and do your movement outside?
Get up, get outside, do your movement indoors if you don't want to get outside. I prefer to move outdoors because, one, you're in the elements and it's pretty like hectic sometimes when it's blowing a gale and it's freezing cold. But if you're just starting, maybe just roll out your mat and just have a little roll around your carpet, you know, have a stretch, play with some movement, learn about where your body wants to go, what your body needs. But when you expose yourself to nature and you can get that morning sun on your face and your skin and just in your world, you just find this natural rhythm and connection with nature, which is often the disconnection that means you're missing out on that natural high, that natural energy release, that recharging of every single cell of your body. And if you can find little doses of that, you'll just feel more energized in a more natural way. And that will then lead, hopefully, into all sorts of other, you know, training and just having that self-awareness of what your body needs when you need it.
Sarah, have you done it?
Have I got outside to move?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, this week I've been cycling a lot more and getting out first thing to do it. And I've sort of had Richie's health habit in the back of my mind. But, you know, when you just like have been called to get out more, and this week has opened that up for me. And I've been on really big cycles this week and it's felt amazing. And because it's been so cold, this is quite an indulgent thing, but because it's been quite so cold, I felt like the same sensation of skiing, when you're skiing and you just have those like quiet moments to roll down the hill and there was no one around. I was going around the Olympic Park a lot and it was amazing. So yes, feels fantastic to do. So
fingers crossed we're going to get to go skiing this year.
Oh, I know. I know.
Elaborating on that, reason people, you know, often scared about going to the mountains or trying skiing because it's scary, it's hard, it takes time. But just being out in the mountains and getting fresh air and actually being out in the cold. I love the winter.
Yeah.
It's part of being human. Our skin's waterproof. We, you know, that fear of the cold on your skin, you know, and then the circulation pumping when you get into that nice, warm, cozy fire. You don't even have to go up the mountain. It's like just being in the mountains. And people just often mistake. It's just, oh, this feels different, rather than, you know, soaking it all up. That's part of the experience. And I think that's something people should at least try. Maybe you'll make up the mountain, maybe you won't, but... It's again, another example of how powerful nature can be to lift your mood and to just help you step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, absolutely. Quick, Serena, what about you on the healthy habit?
I'm just thinking, I love the idea. I've never heard skin be described as like we're waterproof, but I love that. Yeah. That's really
cute. Super waterproof.
I usually walk my dog after lunch in the afternoon because I get a bit of a slump. So this week, with your healthy habit in mind, I've been getting up, doing like my tea and my journaling and stuff, and then going for a walk, a good long walk in the morning first thing. And I love it. And it's kind of like what you were saying, to kind of fill up your cup, get your time in so that you can then be the best of yourself for your clients and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's good. It's good. And then I'll go again later in the afternoon. But it's really nice to do it first thing, because otherwise, as you say, you kind of roll out of bed and before you know it, you're in front of your laptop and you're like, oh my God, already. Yeah. And so yeah, I love it. Love it.
Well, your brain, so that's just the background on that. It's, you know, when your brain and your eyes are wide open and you're taking those information, so all these apps are open, all this inbox is trying to get managed, and you know, whether that's on your phone and you're just messing around with your phone or on your laptop, you're on a computer, you might think you're being productive, but there's only so much capacity your brain has to be able to function at an optimal level, to be creative and to be switched on and to be alert and to do your best work. Whereas if you took regular breaks and just got outside and you left your phone alone, you looked up, what happens with your eyes? How is your eyes taking nature, or you feel the cold? And the circulation changes. So all your limbs, all your cells, all the blood vessels are pumping blood and oxygen around, including the brain, including the eyes, including the heart, the organs, and everything else. And that's a natural way to boost your mood, boost your energy, but also give your brain a little break to be able to come back and come, you know, back to work with fresh energy, fresh eyes, fresh creativity, and a nice, hopefully lifted mood. Mm-hmm. So there's science in nature. Just immersing yourself in it for a few minutes, just a few minutes. Go and stand outside with a t-shirt on, go, it's freezing cold, and just try and embrace the cold for a moment. It might feel like, fuck, this is cold. But actually afterwards you feel, whoa, that was amazing, you know, yeah. Way. Yeah, and people just don't, they just make it too overcomplicated, I think, sometimes, and just don't give themselves that break, whereas really you're going to be much better when you come back and so much more productive.
Oh, great advice. Yeah, yeah, thank you, Richie. Oh, it's been so much fun speaking to you. And we had like 1,000 other more questions, but
Maybe we'll do a part two.
Yeah, exactly.
if people enjoy this chat, maybe we'll do a part two. Maybe just like, this guy talked way too much. Let's leave that one alone.
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Oh, Richie, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, time is precious, but at the same time, I think this, what you're doing is really great. And I think, you know, it's going to have a huge impact on people that come across this website, this podcast, just taking, you know, the knowledge and the stories that you're sharing. And that's just such a great thing to be involved with. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And likewise for your incredible work. Well done. We'll just boost each other's egos constantly.
And we're going to stay young forever.
Leave me a voice note. Just send any good vibes my way. I will take it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Richie. That was so great. I just feel so refreshed by his outlook on life. I think he's just got such a positive attitude to what he does and what he shares. I think it's brill.
Me too. I feel like I should be dragging my desk out into the garden to like work under the wind and the rain this afternoon. I also was cracking up because we were just like giggly schoolgirls at him, flirting with him. Outrageous. What a dreamboat.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us this week. And we hope you had a really lovely Christmas and you're enjoying this time to just relax, reconnect, and hopefully get into nature. If you'd like the recipe for this episode, then head over to our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/kitchenclubpodcast. And we shall be back for more next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you next year.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.